This is the Rich Dad Radio Show. The good news and bad news about money. Here's Robert Kiyosaki.
Hello, Robert Kiyosaki. This is more than the good news and bad news about money. This is the emergency podcast number 4. And we had 1, 2, 3, and now 4. So please go through 1, 2, 3, and 4 because it's getting worse. And the better prepared you are, you know, like we said, the last number 3 was about, if you're prepared, the problem is not that you're prepared. The problem is what happens to your neighbor who's not prepared. And that's really the issue. There's a lot of people who are just thinking happy days are here again. And we just did a radio show with George Gammon, and he talks about how when the yield curve inverts, everybody thinks happy days are here again, and then it crashes. So anyway, this is a very time to be pessimistic and optimistic. And the person that shares the 1, 2, and 3, 4 podcast is Andy Scheckman. He's the president and founder of Miles Franklin Precious Metals. And for full disclosure, we buy a lot of product from Andy. And so is a lot of other people. But there's one reason I buy from Andy, actually two reasons. Reason number one, he knows his stuff. He has the macro picture on things. And number two, he can supply. I've tapped out a several number of smaller dealers. They just can't get product, can't get gold or silver. And I said, well, I can't wait. Anyway, so Andy, welcome back to emergency podcast number 4. The topic is, will France work with China on issues ranging from 5G technology to military? So when you sent me that blurb about Macron and Xi of China getting together, France will work with China. What does that mean to you?
It means that a lot of our alliances are breaking ranks, and it's very scary. I mean, it was one thing when we talked about Mexico breaking rank, and they have formally applied to BRICS. We already know that Saudi Arabia has broken rank, who's formally applied to BRICS and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and allies like Turkey and Egypt. These countries are all starting to slide away. We talked about rumors of Australia and New Zealand doing it, but when you look at what the French have done, it's crazy. I mean, if we recall back in 2022, France was one of the original allies of the US who stood by us in our decision to sanction Russia. But the idea of our allies slowly starting to turn their back on us, slowly starting to walk away, well, this has stunning consequences. And if you think about it, it is essentially, it's almost all of the U.S. policies over the last decade, which we presume that we were and always would be the global leader, not just militarily, but economically, have to be, I think, thought of again. I mean, the best laid plans need to be reevaluated. And those always were what we thought was the rule of the room, not so much. If we go back just to July,
One thing about the Rich Dad fans here, we like to keep it simple. So can you give us the toilet paper metaphor?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you say that. When my dad talked about life being like a roll of toilet paper, and I kind of took it a step further, but you know, he said, Andy, I'm 80 years old. Life is like a roll of toilet paper. When you're young, you don't notice the roll spinning. And as you get older, you're more cognizant and aware of the cardboard getting closer and the roll starts to spin faster. When I started talking about these events in 2020, really, really talking about them, you know, one of the things you and I talked about this last week is being able to prove and show the things that you said are true. And you've done that. An amazing job of the calls that you made. You can go back and see them. Well, the same thing is true here. I've been talking about this exclusively on every podcast since 2020, but they were separated by a passage of time. The roll was spinning slowly. But it's really incredible, this progression of events, especially over the last several months. You go back to the day we left Afghanistan and move forward, the day the U.S. military pulled out of Afghanistan in a very un-American way, the roll has started to spin faster. and most of it centered around growing alliances and relationships and de-dollarization, moving away from the dollar.
So let me say this much. The reason that's important, the reason I buy from Andy, number one, he can supply. So a lot of people are running out of supplies right now. They can't provide gold and silver. I don't want to wait. And the other thing is that Andy knows his macro. And we just spent 3 days together with George Gammon and our team. And the mistake I made at our 3 day here in Scottsdale was I forgot to say, well, we'll start with macro first. And that came from my teacher, R. Buckminster Fuller. He says, most people start small and then they go smaller. They go micro to micro. And the mistake I made is that I started macro as best I could. And a lot of people say, I didn't come from the macro, I went from the micro. And that's school, because they teach you to be a specialist and get more specialized. So you become a doctor, but then you have to specialize down. So that's going from micro to micro. And so I forgot to prep the class. It was like 300 or 400 people. And I forgot to say, we start with the biggest picture, which is macro. So when I first met Andy, he was talking about Afghanistan. And the average American doesn't even know where Afghanistan is. And what people don't know, there was the Afghanistan, something that's called a parrot in the military, because I was a U.S. Marine. We called Afghanistan the parrot's beak or something like that. And the rule of thumb for the military is who controls the parrot beak or the parrot point, whatever they called it, controlled the world. So that's why when the Taliban and the Russians had Afghanistan, they were starting to control the world. So military guys see it that way. So when I first met Andy, he was making waves talking about Afghanistan. I was talking about Biden pulling down the Keystone XL pipeline, which sent the price of oil through the roof and then tearing down Trump's wall, and then Afghanistan. And so all of this stuff is being orchestrated from America. So explain the significance of Afghanistan for people. You know, this is podcast number 4. Well, that's when I first met Andy. He starts with the macro. Then what does it mean to you and me?
Yeah, and I think micro, you could say, is learning more and more about less and less till you exactly know everything about nothing.
Yeah.
Macro, on the other hand, is what it's all about, and putting the macro pieces together. The day we left Afghanistan signaled the end of the dollar, because it is the protection of the Saudi kingdom that gives us the dollar hegemony, that gives us the petrol standard. It was the promise of our protection of the Saudi kingdom. And by extension, OPEC and Saudi Arabia agrees to sell oil globally in dollars. Well, the day we left, Saudi Arabia struck a deal with Russia for joint military cooperation. This was the beginning of it. They said, if they're going to turn and run like this on their allies, on the 2,000 Americans that were left behind enemy lines, and the thousands of freedom fighters who gave their lives to fight for the Americans, and they're still there living in tent villages waiting to get out, that was signal to Saudi Arabia that, hey, we need to find an alternative to that. Closely followed by the weaponization of the dollar and kicking Russia out of SWIFT, which alerted the rest of the world.
Correct. You can't trust America.
Right.
Can I go back a little bit further? Is that Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard in 71 and the economy went crazy. So with gold not going, 74, Nixon sent Kissinger to Saudi Arabia. And instead of being a gold-backed currency, the dollar, it became a petrol-backed dollar. And right, that gave the United States much more power. So when I first met Andy, I wasn't aware of what happened in Afghanistan. I saw from the military side. We left, what, $90 billion with the best equipment in the world behind? I mean, thank you, Joe Biden, and your son Hunter. I'm sure he brokered that deal. But you know what I mean? And then Saudi Arabia says, man, we can't trust America.
Right, exactly.
And so that's why the oil prices, and first act was to cut off the Keystone XL pipeline, send oil from $30 a barrel to $130 a barrel, which causes inflation. And then he pulls up Afghanistan. So this is when Andy and I bonded as brothers, are going, holy mackerel. Andy sees the macro first. And then Saudi Arabia says, we're out of it. So they joined the BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Then it became Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Saudi Arabia. And how many other countries have joined BRICS now?
there's over 60 countries that have applied or are in the process of applying. And, you know, when you put BRICS together with two other groups, that being the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which in and of themselves are pretty darn close to 60% of human population, and the Belt Road Initiative, over 150 countries, you're talking a mass of humanity. And well, if I'm going to
stop using the U.S. dollar, that's what it means.
That's right. If I'm going to try to give this whole mass of humanity a macro view, that macro view is developing projects that would be called peaceful modernization applied to sustainable development. They are peacefully making deals to modernize these countries. China comes in and builds ports and bridges and railways and roads, builds oil rigs and refineries and gold and silver mines, and the ability to pull it out of the ground and get it to market to build and modernize these countries that have been under the thumb of the West forever. And this is about mutual beneficial arrangements.
Right. And using the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world.
But, correct.
But I think, let me get my thoughts together on this whole thing. So when France and Xi of China started buddying, Andy called yesterday. He says, guess what they did? So today's emergency podcast number 4, what does it mean that suddenly France jumped up and joined? I don't know if they joined the BRICS, but what does France and Xi getting together, which caused emergency podcast number 4, what does it mean to Andy Shekman?
It means that they're beginning to break ranks. So if we go back just a few months, go back to July, France signed at that time an agreement with the United Arab Emirates for strategic cooperation in the energy sector. That was kind of the beginning of it. But here just a week ago, Xi Jinping rolled out the red carpet for Macron in China, and they struck a 51-point joint declaration. As you mentioned, issues ranging from 5G to military engagement. And it was very important that the article made very distinct reference that in this 51-point engagement agreement, that no commitment from China to use its influence to end the Ukrainian war was part of it. They did not demand that China use its influence to get this broker deal, to do this deal with France. They did not have to guarantee that they would try and step in and broker a peace deal. This is big because just a few days earlier, there was an article that talked about France and China doing a deal with the United Arab Emirates for 65,000 tons of liquefied natural gas paid in yuan, settled in yuan. France paid in yuan, not in dollars. This is a massive departure from the decades-long practice of conducting global oil and liquid natural gas and energy sales exclusively in U.S. dollars. It's one thing for a country like Brazil to do it, who just did. All of their trades are now being settled with China in yuan. Big, big deal. But it's a bigger deal altogether to see our alliance, our partners start to do the exact same thing. And without really consulting the U.S. about this, this is a massive deal. And the funny thing is, to your point, Robert, the article that I was reading, I read about half a dozen articles on this, and I wrote this down just because it really underscores what you just said. It says, as for the UAE, the move is part of a larger trend of Persian Gulf countries opening up to China in the aftermath of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the Biden administration's shift in regional policies. The move out of Afghanistan in and of itself was embarrassing to the U.S., but what it signaled to its allies was even more detrimental, that, hey, we don't have your back if the chips are down. And that is why these countries, on top of moving away from the Western sanctions, are getting to the point of it's every man for himself, and it's time to start making deals with the countries that are going to further our best interests. And, you know, they also went on to say some very interesting things, if you'll indulge me. This is exactly what Macron said, and I quote, "Europe must reduce its dependency on the United States and avoid getting dragged into confrontation between China and the U.S. over Taiwan." He said this. He also said that Europeans cannot resolve the crisis in the Ukraine. How can we credibly say on Taiwan, watch out, if you do something wrong, we will be there? He's saying we're not going to be there and we're not going to back the West.
But France is not.
Right. That's exactly right. And he also talked about, he said, some in Europe have complained about the weaponization of the dollar by Washington. This is what we've been saying, which forces European companies to give up business and cut ties with countries or face crippling secondary sanctions. So not only have our foes realized that those sanctions would deem and require moving away and finding another path, now our allies are doing the same thing. But really the most important thing that I took away from this article is what wasn't said. And there was a disclaimer. This was written in Politico, the magazine Politico. But check this out, Robert. If this doesn't blow you away, if this doesn't underscore everything, listen to this. I'm going to read this. Politico's disclosure at the end of the article this weekend indicates that Macron had much harsher things to say. Listen to this. As is common in France and many other European countries, the French president's office, known as the Elysee Palace, I know I didn't say that right, but Elysee Palace, insisted on checking and proofreading all of the president's quotes to be published in this article. And as a condition of granting the interview, this violates Politico's editorial standards and policy. However, we agreed to the terms in order to speak directly with the French president. Politico insisted that it cannot deceive its readers and would not publish anything the president did not say. The quotes in this article were all actually said by the president, but some parts of the interview in which the president spoke even more candidly about Taiwan and Europe's strategic autonomy were cut out by the Elysee. So you have them pulling things out that they don't want the West to hear, basically saying we're not going to back them when they go after China. If they go after Taiwan, you're on your own. And speaking candidly about the sanctions and the de-dollarization and what that means to the French. You know, it wasn't too long ago where one of the French banks was sanctioned by the West and threatened with swift sanctions to the tune of several billion dollars for working with an Iranian company. So it's our prerogative to tell the world who they can and cannot work with. And it's now starting to actually create backlash from our allies. It's a huge deal, Robert. It is more and more and more of these pieces all coming together to show that what we are doing is going to create a massive backlash against the hegemony and the bullish.
Explain what it means when the U.S. did something swift deal against a bank. What does that mean to the layperson like me?
It just simply says that if you want to transact dollars, you have to use the SWIFT system, which is a kind of like a messaging system. It's the oxygen that allows money to go through the system. And if you're not allowed to use SWIFT, you cannot transact in U.S. dollars, which is the settlement currency for energy for now. So it is the major, it's basically like saying to someone, if you don't do what we do, we're going to take the keys of your car and you can't drive anymore. That's pretty much what it says. You can't go anywhere. You're out.
I heard it best described as like you're on oxygen and they're going to
cut the tube. You're cutting off the oxygen supply.
Yeah. And so the whole thing collapses on them. So that's
absolutely,
it's a weaponization of our U.S. dollar against the world, and the world's pissed off about it right now.
Absolutely. And it's not just France. Look at, you know, our relationship with Mexico is rocky. Our relationship with Germany is rocky after what happened with the pipeline and energy. And now Germany is really, our relationships with all of our allies are breaking down. And it is showing that we are being isolated and all of our allies are beginning to think for themselves. And when you talk about Japan rumored to join, Australia rumored to join, New Zealand rumored to join, and what France is doing and how we've aggravated Germany and truly pissed off the rest of the world, it is a spinning of the toilet paper roll, spinning faster and faster and faster. And God help us when we get to the cardboard. What is the cardboard? The cardboard is de-dollarization on a massive scale. It's the switching out of the dollar as the global reserve currency. And when our allies are breaking rank, it is going to speed things up, I believe, tremendously.
And the last metaphor that Andy always talks about is us, like, you know, the U.S. has been the big bully in the play yard.
Right.
Suddenly all the other kids are saying, well, you're not going to be the bully anymore. We're going to gang up on you.
And correct.
That's what the BRICS are. They said, hey, we're going to take you down, bully. So when we come back with Andy Shechtman, again, his founder and president of Miles Franklin Precious Metals, full disclosure, you buy a lot of precious metals from Andy because I love gold and silver. But when we come back, we'll talk, what does it mean to you and me? What does it mean now that we can see the cardboard on the toilet paper roll? We'll be right back. Welcome back. Robert Kiyosaki, The Rich Dad Radio Show, the good news and bad news about me. Once again, this is the emergency podcast number 4. Please go into our archives and listen to 1, 2, 3, and now it's 4. Because it's all coming down fast right now. It's going faster, like the toilet paper roll. It's going faster and faster and faster. And just yesterday, I was talking to Andy about France joining China. I mean, France now working with China. That's one of our biggest trading partners saying, screw you, U.S., we're going to deal with China in Chinese currency, not the U.S. dollar. The average American has no idea what that means. So one of the reasons we archive our programs at richdadradio.com is so you can listen to it again and then discuss, listen to it again and discuss, and you'll learn more and more about what's going on in the macro world of money. So again, we have France working with China. And full disclosure, I deal with Andy Shechtman, president of Miles Franklin Precious Metals. Number one is he can supply. Not everybody can supply today because supplies are running short. You know, gold and silver are pouring out of the doors and the mints right now. But not only that, Andy has the big macro picture of what's going on. Some of the gold dealers I deal with, they may have some gold, but they don't have the big picture. So I have full disclosure, that's why we deal with Andy. So Andy, again, one more time, you talk about that game, Jenga or something like that. What does that mean to people?
It's a game where you have a tower with individual pieces and the object is to pull pieces out and not be the one to make the whole tower fall one by one.
Wait, so France is one of those pieces coming out now.
Correct. And that's, you know, a big piece, and it's wobbling. Since our last meeting, there have been so many things that have happened. I'd like to just touch on a couple of them because you mentioned macro. To me, everything is macro.
Yeah.
It's not about what coins to buy. It's about why do you need to own it? It's not about buying a new fancy car or a new car. It's about why do you have to, you come to grips with the realization I need to buy a car. Picking out the make and the model is the fun part, but the macro is why do I need it? What's the big picture? When we talk about a big picture, just in the last 10 days or so, there's been a dozen or more things that have happened that are all making the roll spin faster. I'm just going to read a few of them here to you. Saudi Arabia enters trade alliance with China, Russia, India, and Pakistan, and 4 Central Asian nations to step further away from reliance on the U.S. dollar, number one. We talked about China and France complete first liquid natural gas trade using yuan, ending the reliance on the U.S. dollar, number two. China and Brazil have settled their trades in their own currencies, ditching the U.S. dollar. Number three, Brazil is the second largest exporter of corn in the world. We've talked a lot about this new BRICS currency, but Russia's State Duma deputy chairman Babakov says that the BRICS reserve currency will be backed by gold and other commodities such as rare earth elements. And it's interesting, the president of the president of Indonesia, an OPEC country, said we need to, by the way, create an OPEC style cartel for these rare earth metals that's really something that the West hasn't thought out too well when they're talking about going green. We talked about the Kenyan deal with Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, where they're going to use Kenyan shillings instead of dollars, and their president telling everyone, get out of dollars or you're going to go broke. Things will be different in a few weeks. There was a meeting of the Association of the Southwest Asian Nations that talked about dropping the dollar, the euro, the yen, and the pound for local currency financial settlements. Now, remember, this is all in 1 week. We got another report that India is to settle trade in rupees with countries that instead of U.S. dollars and trade in rupees with countries that are facing currency failure or have dollar shortage. Another piece out of the Jenga tower. We got news that in Brazil, the Chinese yuan has surpassed the euro as Brazil's second largest international reserve currency, starting to speed up. We find out that Saudi Arabia joined the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And to me, what is most relevant about that is that they are a military cooperation organization as well. So on one hand, the day we left Afghanistan, they signed this deal with Russia. And on the other hand, now with China, they're being protected, in essence, by Russia and China. They are in a game of chess. They're getting into place to have all of their angles covered.
So the playground is ganging up against the bully, which is the U.S.
Absolutely. And then the last piece of the puzzle was Widodo not only talked about the OPEC-style cartel, he publicly said that these partners in this group that is looking to dump dollars in favor of local currencies needs to drop Western payment systems like Visa and MasterCard and start using locally developed systems, arguing that the region needs to shield itself from possible geopolitical repercussions. And he used the sanctions on Russia with Visa and MasterCard as his impetus for saying this. So on one hand, the world is moving away from our bullying and hypocrisy. And on the other hand, China and the rest of these countries in the Belt Road and on the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the word being cooperative, are trying to use peaceful modernization apply to sustainable development. They are trying to bring all of these countries together and unify them under this guise of unification and against the West. And like we talked about last time, there are now embassies that are going to be put into Iran and Saudi Arabia. These two countries who have hated each other, Sunni and Shiite, are joining under a peaceful, sustainable agreement against the West. So what does it mean to all of us? It's what I've been saying for a very long time. You know, all of a sudden you got everyone talking about this, including Fox and CNN, and a lot of the commentators in our space who weren't talking about it now are.
That's true.
And I'm happy for that. But what they're all missing is what happens when the switch is flipped. You know, you talk about the fact that I can deliver. Another part of my message over the last 3 years has been this industry will ultimately define itself by the inability to source product. Because let's be honest, you know, Robert, you have a very large following, 3, 4, 5 million people on your YouTube channel, and they're enlightened and they're aware, but that represents but a tiny minority of the people in this country. As you said in your show, the conference the other day, people cannot get out of the way of what they don't see coming.
Amen.
And people don't see this coming. And what will happen when the awakening comes is that they'll realize, where the hell do I put my money in a system where interest rates now are massively spiking because the dollar has been dumped and it creates this tsunami of inflation? What happens to the dollar? The dollar collapses, interest rates spike, and everything that makes us feel wealthy is inversely correlated to that event. So where do you go? And the smart money understands that it's gold and silver. Do you think there's any reason why the central banks have bought the second most amount of gold in history last year? The most since 1967. Why in January those numbers are up 196% from December, doubling down their efforts month over month, because they see what's coming. There should be no surprise that the COMEX and the LBMA, the centers for supply, are being drained dry before this moment happens. Yes, I can deliver now, but ultimately I am very convinced that it will define this industry, the inability to source anything, because the world will wake up all at once after it's too late.
So let me explain from a macro on this whole thing. Like I said, we had 3 days and I forgot to let people know. When you study a subject, you want to go from the biggest picture of all. But our academic system starts small and goes smaller. So they teach you to be a little mouse and then bury a little hole. So you go, you become a doctor and you become more specialized, but you think you're smart. And that's why our accountant, our CPA in the room, Tom Wheelwright, he says his wife refuses to work with dollars. I mean, with doctors, because they go from small to smaller. And I'm starting in the biggest possible. So what Andy is talking about here, there's two basic laws that are violated. When Nixon in 71 took the dollar off the gold standard, what happened was that he violated Gresham's law. And Gresham's law says when bad money enters a system, good money goes into hiding. So in what happened in 71, Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard, people started, you know, guys like me started buying more gold. The second law is Triffin's dilemma. And that happened in 1944. What happened in 1944 at the Bretton Woods Agreement in New Hampshire is the world said that we agree that the world would trade in U.S. dollars. And everything was hunky-dory and fine after 1944. But now the Bretton Woods Agreement is falling apart because Triffin's dilemma says that this is the big point that Andy woke me up to. Triffin's dilemma meant the U.S. had to supply dollars to every central bank throughout the world. So we had to print not probably quadrillions of dollars. And what happens is when the playground bully, the U.S., and the BRICS nations gang up against the bully, they say, take your dollars back. Mm-hmm. And when those dollars come roaring back into America, we have a thing called hyperinflation. And every time there's hyperinflation, guess what happens? Dictators arise.
Yep.
And when dictators arise, the murder starts. So Andy gave me one of my precious gifts, is every guy has like those posters hanging behind him, was executive order, you know, an executive order. We talked about, we had General Jack Bergman at our 3 day in Scottsdale. An executive warning, he's a congressman now. He and I were both pilots in the Marine Corps. He became a 3-star general. Now he's a congressman. What an executive order means, it's a dictatorship. You don't need the Congress or the Senate to change anything. They just EO it, executive order it. So now we're a dictator. And please hear what I'm saying. That's when the murdering starts. There was a woman there, I didn't have a chance to bring her up, but she's from Laos, she's from Cambodia. And she saw her sister raped and murdered by Pol Pot. But that's what happens when the economy crashes. So Triffin's dilemma violates the Bretton Woods 1944, and trillions of dollars will come floating back across America, and we haven't seen inflation yet. Is that what you were telling me?
That's exactly it, Robert. I couldn't have said it any better. That's exactly it. And so you have a lot of people giving their synopsis of what they believe the future will look like within a bubble, assuming that we still are the world reserve currency. But if you just take a step back and see what's happening objectively, you can see that these alliances are being made to ultimately challenge the dollar for that right. And it's as simple as the rest of the world not needing to hold dollars to buy oil anymore. They will be dumped. And they will create massive inflation. And the byproduct of that is spiked interest rates. And when you look at the idiocy of all of the policy decisions that keep being made over and over and over again, both inside the country and outside the country, you have to wonder, was this done intentionally because they realize we're backed against a wall? You know, they talk about this quantitative tightening to normalize their balance sheets so that foreigners won't have to accept inflated dollars. But it started to break the banking system. We saw that. And so now in the last 3 weeks or so, they have erased 2/3 of all the quantitative tightening over the last 11 months in 3 weeks. They can't tighten. They can't normalize. They are going to have to inflate. or default. So they've chosen inflation. We're back to quantitative easing again to bail out the banks. Under the table, we're easing. The rest of the world at some point says, why do I want to sell you our oil or anything that we produce for these dollars that are becoming worth less? And when the BRICS nations tell us that our new system will be pegged to commodities, and I believe it will be using the blockchain or distributed ledger technology, you call it the auditor. Blockchain is the auditor for the world to see what has been pegged backing this new system of transparency and of commodities back to a system that creates a value. The dollar used to be backed by gold. It had a value. It was as good as gold. That's what they will attempt to do, and do it the right way by pegging what every country pledges to distributed ledger technology on the heels, I believe, of the digital yuan, which they will roll out for the new BRICS settlement system. It's coming. And that is the scariest thought of all, is what does it mean when that happens? You know, Jim Rickards, who talked at your show, made a very interesting point about how the banking problems happened on a Sunday night. I've always said that's the way it's going to happen. You'll wake up Monday morning and it will be, oh my God, what just happened? Because in the middle of the night, while we're all sleeping, all of the OPEC members who are all on the Belt Road Initiative, they'll stand arm in arm, say, we've decided to now take the new, we're going to take the yuan until the new BRICS currency is out, or whatever they say. Those dollars will start flooding home before we even wake up, and we'll wake up to interest rates spiking and markets limit down and the whole system in chaos. You have to be proactive to this. And when you see our allies like France breaking ranks and quietly, slowly backing out of the room, it should be a massive wake-up call to everybody that this is accelerating in pace when our own allies are saying, you know what? We have to protect our own interests as well.
So let's go macro one more time. Yesterday, I was sitting at the Biltmore Shopping Center talking to Andy, because he says, hey, did you see France and China? I said, no, I didn't pay attention to that. But we're talking about the ripple effect of what's going to happen. And then there's a video or YouTube thing put up by Ray Dalio. It's called The Changing World Order. That is macro. And so that's what Dalio writes about. And he says that after 1944, there was a period of peace because people said, oh, America won World War II. We're now the global currency. The power shifted from Dutch to England to United States in 1944. We became the reserve currency, which when Triffin's dilemma kicked in, trillions and probably quadrillions of dollars went out. And the turn and changing wild war orders is what Dalio says. The next thing that always happens is that then the peace goes to a split inside the country. So there's a civil war inside the country between the rich and the poor. Happens all the time. But then he also says what also happens is then we go to war with outside the country. So that's China today. And then I was talking to Andy about my teacher, Buckminster Fuller. He called it the Northwest Spiral. And he said, civilization always goes in a northwest spiral. So we're talking about it at the 3-day in Scottsdale here. It starts in Singapore, Thailand area, and it goes northwest. So it went from there to France, to Germany, to England, to the United States, to Japan, and now it's in China. So what that means is that with a northwest spiral, war is going to be inevitable. One way or the other. So it's that's why Andy called, just saying France now joined China. France was one of our best allies ever. So again, it's just laws are being broken on the macro level. Number one is Triffin's dilemma. We have to flood the world with dollars. The second is Gresham's law, is that when bad money entered the system, which happened in 1971, when Nixon threw the dollar off the gold standard, we flooded the world with even more fake dollars. And so that if you read Rich Dad Poor Dad, we said savers are losers. The rich don't work for money, they work for assets. And the best assets today are commodities. That's why my friend Greg Jaggers is raising Wagyu cattle. And my other friend Mike Maselli produces real oil, not oil stocks, but real oil. And the people who are producing real food will do well. So that's what we're getting at. Out of all this chaos and the dollar going bad, the dollar is going to come back in trillions. Hyperinflation, war breaks out, starvation increases. The question is, what do you do? So that's why Andy called me yesterday. He said, France and China got together. That's why we're emergency podcast number 4. So Andy, any recommendations what a person can do besides go on suicide watch now?
Well, yeah, real quick, you know, the more I started to research Buckminster Fuller and his ripple effect or the Northwest
spiral.
If, you know, if you look at where the cradle of civilization, and it has, it spun this way. And my question to you is, what happens when it goes past us and now moving back towards Asia again? And that's, we're left in the wake of the chaos. And I think it's happening. And the ripple effect. What was the stone that created the ripple?
Right. So may I what Fuller said. He says, once it gets back to China or the Asia, like Thailand and Singapore area, we enter the new age of integrity. He says, what will happen for those who get the message, enter the new age of integrity? He didn't say it directly, but that's Singapore. You ever been to Singapore? You break any of the rules. You know, I was laughing with Veronica Tan, who was Success Resources out of Singapore, was the first people there I ever talked about Rich Dad. The first place we ever played the cash flow board game. We're entering the age of integrity. And in Singapore, you cannot chew gum and you cannot pee on the streets. You know, you don't tag, you don't put smoke, you know, they take you to jail. So the age of integrity is you better obey the law. And that's where it's going to go, because rule breaking has been the norm now. You know, they put spray paint everywhere now. Break windows. You're supposed to fix the window as soon as they're broken. But that's the age of integrity, and that's why we're going to smaller groups. Like, I don't hang out with people who like cheat and steal. It's not worth hanging out with them. So that's why Andy, that's why I say I buy from Andy Shekman for two reasons. Number one, he can supply, but he knows his macro. And so when you're moving forward right now, you better know who you're doing business with. Does that make sense to you, Andy?
It does. Counterparty risk, I think, will be the buzzword in the near future with the systemic nature of things, with the $quadrillion in derivatives that have created a massive amount of counterparty liability. Yeah. It's a very big deal. And that's one reason I like gold and silver so much, Robert, is because it removes counterparty liability. They are assets that are not simultaneously someone else's liability.
Let me explain counterparty, because people get confused about that. Let's say you have a friend or a brother-in-law, let's say he's a drug addict and unemployed, and you lend him $100,000. The counterparty of risk is your brother-in-law is a drug addict and unemployed. And that's a lot of times where you got to be reasoned with gold and silver. It stands all alone by itself, but not gold and silver ETFs, SLV or GLD. I want nothing paper. So the reason I buy physical from Andy Shekman, Miles Franklin Precious Metals, is the moment that gold or silver coin or bar is in my hand, it's mine. There's nobody else that counterparted to that. You know, there's no somebody else I'm depending upon. Like if I have an SLV, which is silver ETF, I've got a control on the guy who produces that SLV.
That's being administrated by the biggest crook of all, JP Morgan. Amen. And HSBC Bank for GLD. Your counterparty risk, if you look at it rationally, is extraordinary with those two funds. You're right. And the governments around the world are not buying ETFs with gold in them. They're buying physical gold.
Right.
You're right. Completely. The only other thing that really blew my mind in listening to the teachings of Fuller was the ripple effect. And it makes such great sense that this is a law of nature. You drop a stone in the water and there's a ripple effect. Or in my case, you hit a golf ball in the water here, there is a ripple effect. So what was the stone that you could think of several stones? To me, it was the weaponizing of the dollar, which created this massive ripple effect where the rest of the world says, if they can do that to Russia, if they can kick them out, what does that mean to us? And this has accentuated and sped up this process of de-dollarization. And even the president of France said, what did he say? He's concerned about the weaponization of the West, where they can sanction banks, French banks, not just China or Russia or Saudi Arabia, but our own allies. We will use it against them. So this weaponization that we have done against the world is creating a massive ripple effect.
And this is my ripple effect, because in 1971, I was a pilot in Vietnam flying with the Marine Corps. And that's when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. And that's when I flew off my carrier, U.S. Marine, went behind enemy lines and bought my first gold. Because, you know, when they took the dollar off the gold standard, Nixon did in 71, it became fake money. And that's when I started buying gold and silver. I still have that gold and that gold coin I bought, but I don't store it in the U.S. also. I won't tell you where I stole it. Not that silly. Definitely not stored in my house. But ladies and gentlemen, is that if you don't trust your money, that's the problem. And the world is now waking up that they don't trust the money. But worst of all, Triffin dilemma is going to kick in, and trillions of dollars will come washing back on our shore. And you're going to see hyperinflation like you've never seen before. Just, I hope I'm wrong.
No, yeah, I don't think you are. And that's exactly the whole thing in a nutshell. What happens when that happens? What does that dilemma really look like?
It always historically, this is Ray Dalio's A Changing World Order, leads to internal conflict and external conflict. Always, always throughout history, 5,000 years of history, it happens every single time.
But in history, you never had the massive leverage that you have right now. The leverage will cripple this entire system in this country. That's the scary part. And when you talk about conflict inside, when everyone loses everything, they've got nothing to lose. And that's when it gets really frightening. And maybe that's why several years ago, the Social Security Administration.
That was emergency podcast number 3. You might be prepared, but if your neighbor isn't prepared, you'll have visitors.
Right. And why did Social Security Administration load up on AR-15s and ammunition? And why did the, why is this being done at the unemployment agencies and all of these government agencies that are buying and arming themselves? Are they expecting some form of social pushback, or I don't know. It's just, I think that type of a frightening scenario is real.
Again, so let me say that's Ray Dalio. It's called The Changing World Order. It's about an hour long video. It's well done. Lots of pictures and graphs explaining, because this has happened before. And that's why you can't see the future unless you understand history. And that's part of all the Northwest Spiral that Buckminster Fuller talked about. It's now today, or the Jenga game, or the toilet paper roll is now exposed. Hey, Andy, I want to thank you. You know, we're out of time, but this is emergency podcast number 4. Please listen to 1, 2, 3, and 4. So thank you, my friend. It's really been exciting working with you, because we always talk about it. We've lost a lot of friends because we kept trying to warn people and say, what? Everything's fine. Yeah, but the toilet paper is getting close to the roll.
Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. It's a pure joy. I look forward to chatting with you again and picking up where we left off. And it's great to be able to get the message out there. I hope people are listening and doing the research for themselves and seeing what's really coming. I think if you look at it with an open mind, it's pretty hard to come to any other conclusion but that we better get out of the way of what is coming, and at least they'll be able to see what's coming.
So yesterday, Andy and I were working on the solution. We talk about the problem. What's the solution? So Andy and I are going to start working on a book together. And, you know, it's everything is fake right now. There's fake gold, fake silver, fake real estate. When you think about that, you won't be able to put down this book. Anyway, Andy, it's nice working on a project that enlightens the world. So thank you all.
Stay
for
well.
The Rich Dad Radio Show. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, Robert Kiyosaki. I want to thank Andy Scheckman. This is emergency podcast number 4. Please go to our archives at richdadradio.com. Listen to 1, 2, 3, and 4, because they're all different. So I want to thank Andy Scheckman for us spreading the alarm. This is as fast as people were here. And again, yesterday I was at the shopping center, And he calls up, you see, France and China got together. I go, what does that mean? And I sat in the shopping center for a couple of hours just talking about what it is. That's what we decided to do, Rich Dad Emergency Podcast number 4 with Andy Shekman. So, Sarah, what did you think?
Yeah, I think it was like midway, we talked about if all of those dollars start coming back to the U.S.
That's Triffin's dilemma.
Hyperinflation.
Hyper.
And I can't stop but thinking about, what's the wheelbarrow money? Yeah. You know, like they stole the wheelbarrow but left the cash.
Yeah.
That's in our future. That's a real possibility in the United States.
Correct. Cash is trash. I've been saying that for years. Andy and I have talked about how we lose friends because they say, what do you mean? You know, don't fight the Fed. The Fed's on your side. But I think that's emergency podcast number 2. It's about what's happening with the Fed and the Treasury. And Janet Yellen, who's a Treasury Secretary, used to be the Fed chairman. And that's called collusion. It's supposed to be separation. And we also talked about earlier with George Gammon on the regular Rich Dad show, what happens if we go to Fed now versus Fed coin or CBDC, central bank digital currency. So what I'm looking at right now is Ray Dalio, the changing world order. I hate to say this, and I hope I'm wrong. It's the end of the American empire. It happens all the time, and it doesn't happen peacefully. Anything else you want to say, Sarah?
Just a question, something that just keeps going back, you know, in my mind is it too late to stop? I mean, are we on this train that's...
That's a great question. Because Andy, we were talking about yesterday, well, we're talking about Buckminster Fuller, talking about the Northwest.
Right.
What Fuller was saying, our history is wrong. It's a lie. History is his story. And they were, and even, what's his name? Jim Rickards talks about the Bronze Age. And people who wrote the history say the Bronze Age started in Europe. And what Bucky Fuller is saying, it started in Asia, near Thailand. But he also, the hope and dreams are the new age of integrity will begin, and that's Singapore, where you'd better abide by the rules and the law. But that's why blockchain is coming in and crypto and all this stuff. You want to break the law, they're going to track you. So if they go to a central bank digital currency or Fed coin, that's Orwell, George Orwell, 1984, Big Brother will watch you. So I don't like it, but maybe we do need some more integrity.
Well, and maybe this is, I mean, I know the Great Reset, you know, blah, blah, but maybe this train we're on, maybe this leads us to the new empire. And what does that look like?
But that's what Ray Dalio, again, it's called the Changing World Order. Go to YouTube, study that, really is well done. But there's always violence. And there's a woman at this 3-day event here in Scottsdale. She saw her sister raped and murdered. And that's what happens when civil order breaks down. So what Dalio was saying, there's a peace. After 1944, there was some peace with the Bretton Woods Agreement. But then what happened, the gap between rich and poor grows, and then the fighting turns out internally, and the next war goes external. And that's probably China. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm paying attention to it all. So I want to thank you all for listening to the Rich Dad Radio Show. Again, this is emergency podcast number 4. All of our podcasts are archived at richdadradio.com. The 4 emergency podcasts are extremely different. They're all with Andy, but he's talking about that toilet paper roll getting down to the roll. So listen to this. Get your friends and family, listen together and discuss it. Of course, there will be people who won't believe a word we've said, but that's emergency podcast number 3. Is that you may be prepared, but if your friends and family aren't, you'll have visitors. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Rich Dad Radio program, emergency podcast number 4 with Andy Shekman.